You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny and Kmart, I'm so glad. I knew we'd eventually get rid of everybody else.
We kept them out of here. Dominique, move.
And just the important people would be hanging out here.
Let's run it.
RC is looking just ridiculously dope.
Welcome back, Greeny.
Let's go.
Let's get it going.
What's a gold to a goblin?
I don't know that expression.
You're new to the Bart Scott Show on Thursdays. Strap in.
Right. Don't believe the rumors about being a head coach.
I feel like I've seen this before. 49ers and Cowboys. How worried are we right now in the Swagoo household?
Oh, hell. Ain't nobody worried.
The travesty is that Jeff Saturday's boy, Jonathan Taylor, didn't run away with it when he had the chance.
Dan.
Jeff.
Dan.
Jeff.
Dan.
Jeff.
Absolute trash.
I love when he say absolute trash. It's my favorite.
I hate the New York Giants. I hate their coach. You know what he is? Bill Belichick your ass out of the stadium because he's sorry as hell.
Josh Allen listening?
By Agra.
These statements have not been evaluated.
What
were we talking about?
The thing is, he did say he's going to be standing next to heaters to keep those toast.
It'll be hot.
Everybody got to get out of here to stop these giggles.
I can't believe I missed that yesterday. I can tell you that everyone started calling me and saying, did you hear what Bart just said on your show?
He was talking about it in the break, but nobody thought he was going to say it on the air. And then,
I have nothing.
No, no, nor do I. And in fact, I recommend you say nothing. And I will just tell you that we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport District, brought to you by Chase. We are jam-packed before a football Friday. Let's go, folks.
Come
we are getting up with all sorts of NFL action. The Cowboys got some bad news yesterday. We'll tell you what it is and whether or not it means they'll break your heart against San Francisco. Meanwhile, 7 is heaven, but 8 would be great. We'll tell you the biggest thing standing in Tampa Tom's way this weekend. Plus, dress warm if you're shuffling off to Buffalo. Who comes out of the cold Saturday night with a shot at the Super Bowl? We're picking winners in this hour of Get Up, starting right now with ancient rivals, Niners, Cowboys, squaring off at Jerry World on Sunday. Dallas linebacker Micah Parsons. He's been spectacular. He will look to impact the 49er passing game. He was 6th in sacks this year with 13. But what will his role be? We'll get to that in a minute. San Francisco, meanwhile, will count on the multi-purpose Deebo Samuel, who had 14 touchdowns this year, including 8 rushing, which is a single season record for a wide receiver. And Dak Prescott will look to even his record as a playoff starter. He's 1-2 in the playoffs, though he has a very good QBR of 75.4 in those games. Here he is talking about those who think this is a bad matchup.
We don't care what people believe about us outside of these walls, whether they think it's good or not. We're excited for the matchup. Obviously, it's a playoff opponent. You've got to respect them and what they've done. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a war, and we're exactly up for that.
Okay, so it's a fascinating game. I want everyone to move a little closer to your television because we're about to tell you something very important about this matchup. RC, I know you had a chance yesterday for your podcast to talk with Micah Parsons. What did he tell you?
Channing Crowder, Fred Taylor, and I, well, we work on The Pivot, and we went down and sat with Micah Parsons for 2 hours, and it was actually captivating. He's a kid with a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, and he talked about playing DN or middle linebacker, and he said, these are the games I like to be in the middle of the field for because I know it's going to be physicality. I know it's going to be a run game, that they're not going to just sit back and drop Jimmy Garoppolo back to pass the ball 20 to 30 times the game, so I won't get to rush him, but I get to play the run sideline to sideline. I get to match up on a guy like Deebo Samuel, but I also get to play George Kittle in the play action pass, and those are where the plays can be made. And so he is expecting a physical game. He is expecting a game where he has to be involved, but he also knows where he can make the most impact, and he's excited for the matchup. He's excited for the challenge. And the thing that he said that made the most sense to me was this. He said, you can be a star through the season, but the playoffs are when legends are made. And he wants to be a legend, and he feels like playing middle linebacker against the San Francisco 49ers is his first step toward that.
So the Micah Parsons edition of The Pivot will drop today, so we can all check that out. But I think this is an incredibly important piece. RC, let's talk about this, because your buddy Dominique Foxworth was here in the middle of the week, and he made the point that Parsons, as spectacular as he is still a rookie. Mm-hmm. And his expectation, Neek's expectation, is that they will use some of Parsons' aggressiveness against him, that Kyle Shanahan will use that against him to try and sort of, if he's rushing the passer, all that kind of thing. How do you expect Parsons to impact this game?
Yeah, so here's what's crazy about that, and talking about him being a rookie. He said he met with Dan Quinn earlier this week, and Dan Quinn put the practice film on. And he said, Micah, you're one of the best players on the field. You can't practice like this headed into the playoffs. And he said, he told him, all right, coach, I got you, Q. And so I think that's a little bit of it. He kind of talked about the wall hitting, and that it really hadn't hit him until very late in the season, thinking about last week obviously being sick and now. And also being a rookie, stepping into the playoffs the way that he will be, I do believe you have to use some of that aggression against Micah Parsons. I do believe Kyle Shanahan has to game plan with Micah Parsons in mind, whether it's matching him up with Deebo Samuel when Deebo Samuel is at the running back position and getting him in some pass routes, using some misdirection and some bootleg to get him flowing one way and have to make him change direction to get back to George Kittle. I believe he will be the focal point of the game plan of the San Francisco 49ers, not necessarily to just attack him, but to protect yourself from him making big plays. And who better in the world than Kyle Shanahan to try to attempt to do that?
That's the point. This feels like such an incredibly important matchup. Sacho, so let's dive into that here. Do you expect Parsons' role on Sunday primarily to be with his hand in the dirt rushing the passer, or do you expect him to be playing that traditional middle linebacker that we all thought he was drafted to be?
I expect him to be all over the field. And let's just address this. Micah Parsons ain't no regular rookie. Micah Parsons is a monster.
Yeah,
Listen to the interview. RC just sat down with him. Who says that? Rookies don't say that. Veterans don't say that. Only Pro Bowlers say comments like, man, playoffs are where legends are born. He already is being legendary, and now he's even going to accentuate it even more. Micah Parsons will play in the inside because he wants to affect the game. He wants to stop Deebo and George Kittle. But on third down, Micah Parsons might just be on that line getting after the quarterback. And so Micah Parsons is not your regular rookie. He's not your regular football player. He's not your regular human being. He's a different animal, a different beast, a different unit altogether. And so let's not disrespect this dude. He got addressed in practice. He needed to practice better. He said, okay, coach. And I'm guessing he had that look in his eye like, oh, I'm about to go and dominate this football game all over the field.
Nick, let's go even deeper into this, because you understand you're a guy who started out as a linebacker and then became, you know, a pass rushing edge guy, if you will. And so how do you expect this game to go from a Micah Parsons versus Kittle and Deebo and all those guys kind of standpoint?
I mean, I would game plan him against the 49ers. And you offenses, they come up with game plans and they come up with their best
plays.
Well, defensively, you do the same thing. You take your pass rusher and you put him on a weak link. You have twists and stunts and loops. And in the games, that it's a game within a game when it comes to the playoff. You have to make sure that your big players, your playmakers, are able to go out there and eat against players that are the weak links. Mm-hmm. And everybody has a weak link, and it's the defensive coordinator's job to expose those weak links and use their best players against them.
And then, Dan, there's the other side of that. And I mentioned as we started the hour that the Cowboys got some bad news yesterday, which equals good news for the 49ers, and it might have an impact on how this part of the game goes.
Yeah, the 49ers left tackle Trent Williams, who missed last week's game, he's got an elbow injury. Sounds like he's trending toward playing this weekend. So that is obviously good news for the 49ers, potentially bad news for the Cowboys, because Trent Williams is a game-wrecking type player at that left tackle position.
He may very well be the best offensive lineman in the entire National Football League. And so how about this, Dan? We've talked so much about Dak and all the rest of that, but this really may come down to the Cowboy defense, which has been better than expected this season, but is not a physical kind of defense. It's more of a flying around kind of defense against that Kyle Shanahan smash mouth philosophy.
It may, and I got to congratulate Ryan Clark, by the way, on his outstanding Cowboys report. I hope I can give that kind of insight on the Bengals and Raiders this weekend. It was like a, you know, Ed Werder is sitting at home going, what do they need me for? But look, I think it could also come down to, can the 49ers get the Cowboys receivers covered? The 49ers aren't very good in the secondary, and the Cowboys are excellent in the passing game. Part of me feels like this has gone a little too far, right? Like we're almost underrating the Cowboys now because we like the 49ers so much as a matchup against them. So, yeah, I think it's a fascinating game.
Well, you see on the screen, our analytics agree with you. Like 64% is not all that close. So our analytics like the Cowboys. We will pick this game a little later as we go. Meanwhile, let's get to Tom Brady. His chase for eight resumes on Sunday against the seventh-seeded Philadelphia Eagles. Last time he faced them in the playoffs, he threw for 505 yards. And his team did not punt. That was Super Bowl 52. Remember, he lost that game. Here's Tom on the Eagles and their defense.
To make you earn everything, you know, you make a mistake, you get a penalty, you're going to punt. You know, the ball gets batted up in the air, they're going to intercept it. You hold on the ball too long, they're going to strip sack it. So it's a team that just doesn't let you off the hook.
So, Tom, that's the Belichick school of, you know, the right. Other team that we're playing against right. Is really good this weekend. Yes. Ninko, do the Eagles have a chance of pulling the enormous upset?
No, they don't. And I really don't think that the Eagles are going to have a chance because of fact that – think about the whole AB situation. I think that has motivated the Bucs even more to come together as a team. You know, Tom Brady stood on a table for AB, and guess what? They threw him under the bus afterwards when AB left.
Yeah.
AB threw Tom under the bus.
Right.
So, I think that has a motivating factor to it. If you're the Bucs right now, a lot of people are just saying, well, they won last year. They have some injuries in key positions. AB just left the team. They don't have a shot. They're not going to make a deep playoff run. Well, the one common denominator that they do have, they have health coming back on their side defensively, and they have Tom Brady. And they have Rob Gronkowski. They have key pieces, and they have Fournette coming back in the running game. So they have key pieces that if it comes together and they come together as a team, tighter, as a tighter unit, they'll make a deep playoff run and upset some people that don't think they have a chance.
Let's talk about some of those pieces. Let's talk about Gronk in particular, RC, because you told us earlier this morning you think he is the key for Brady going forward.
I think Gronk is extremely important. One, because these guys just have such a rapport. There's such a chemistry between Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. But also, he works the middle of the field, where I believe Tom Brady is better than anyone in the NFL in understanding matchup situations, understanding where he can get the big throws, the seams to Rob Gronkowski's, the deep crossers. Some of those plays that we've seen turn into huge plays and touchdowns for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be extremely important. And I think the other thing that matters to me is you heard Rob Ninkovich or Nico talk about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown and Tom Brady, they had a comfort level. This is a guy he offered to live in his house. This is a guy that played well in one game in New England, and then he wanted him in Tampa Bay. The other guy on that team that's like that is Rob Gronkowski, and maybe even more so. So Tom Brady's going to rely on him. He's going to lean on him. He's not only going to be his go-to guy, but also his security blanket when he just needs a play. And I believe that's huge for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their star quarterback.
I agree, and I think that the Buccaneers can win this game if they are not at their best. But Dan Graziano, you and I both agree that there is one player who is in my view, the most important if he's able to come back and be the difference maker that he has been if they're going to make a Super Bowl run.
Most important outside of Brady.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Leonard Fournette, to me, I mean, the offense for the Buccaneers really got going this year when they started to employ him as a pass catcher out of the backfield. And I think that's a critical element they have not had for the last couple of weeks while he's been injured. It looks like he's healthy and fresh and ready to go for the playoffs. And I think you'll see that be a big factor as they advance, assuming they advance.
You never take an NFL game for granted, certainly not in the playoffs. But I would be very hesitant to take any chances on Fournette re-aggravating or anything like that this weekend. Like, I know you don't look past a game, but I would be very careful with him because I think Fournette is the most important, Brady aside, the most important player on that offense going forward. Do you ever consider resting a player for a playoff game?
You could be on a pitch count. So,
yeah.
So maybe they have 20 plays, 15 plays where they have them in there. They sprinkle them in to have some comfort back because we haven't put pads on and you haven't been out there in a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's a different feeling. So practice is one thing. You can do as much practice as you want. The live contact in a game is completely different.
To me, playoff Lenny is what Brady needs if he's going to have any shot to get through it. By the way, our DraftKings poll question of the week is about Brady, and that is, will Tom throw three or more touchdowns against the Eagles on Sunday? DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and during the playoffs, new sportsbook customers can bet $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code GETUP. As we continue, Coldplay in bitter Buffalo. Can Bill Belichick and the Patriots freeze out Josh Allen and the Bills in round three? We will ask our former Patriot. And is it Big Ben's last dance? Does Pittsburgh have any shot? We'll ask our former Steeler as we get up with you on a Football Friday on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and the Pats and Bills will meet for the third time this season. It's Saturday night for all the marbles. Now, you remember the first game in Orchard Park in Week 13. Patriots threw it just three times on that crazy windy night, and they won it 14-10. Then they met in Week 16 in Foxborough, and Josh Allen had a much bigger day. He threw for 314 yards and three touchdowns, and the Bills won that game by a score of 33-21. And so now they go head-to-head, and it is going to be a cold night. If you're going to be there tomorrow night, dress warm. Saturday evening's low temperature, 2 degrees, with the wind gusting to 13 miles an hour. It's going to be one of the coldest games in NFL history. And I guess I'll just ask it again. Like, how does the cold – what's the coldest game you ever played in?
Like zero, really cold.
And how does it affect
really
the game?
Cold. But
are you a sleeves guy?
Never.
No sleeves?
RC knows this. Acho knows this. You put the Vaseline. You load up on Vaseline. Literally, you take a big scoop of it. You put it all over your arms. Everyone's got Vaseline on every part of exposed skin when it's cold out. But listen, the kicking game is the number one thing that's going to be affected first. And that affects field position, the punting, the field goals, the attempts. How far away do we have to be? Do we attempt the 35-yard field goal with a 10-mile-an-hour wind?
Right.
That could affect a lot of the decisions that are made. Do we go for it on fourth down,
yeah.
Fourth and three, fourth and two? So I think that there's a lot of factors when it comes to the kicking game. But as far as, you know, the actual playing and the players on the field, when you're running around, you got those hot benches and you're in the moment, it's not that cold.
Yes, Dan.
What about ball security? We just watched Matt Breida fumble.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for the Patriots.
If your hands are cold, the ball's cold, it's slippery. I mean, there are a lot of things that come. The ball security is huge. You've seen a lot of teams that in these conditions, and Josh Allen has said it, there's quotes on him saying that we are a different team in cold games than we are in warm games.
I don't even have to ask you who you think is going to win it. We're going to pick the game in a second. But very quickly, are you going to this game? Let's come back up here. I'm sorry, Cindy, I fooled you there. But I just want to see Nico's face as we ask this almost important question here. And that is, are you going to the game tomorrow?
I had plans to go to the game. Me and my wife were going to go. And then she said, no, we're not going.
She saw
the weather report
fair
and
enough.
Decided,
what even
well,
made
let's,
you
let's
think
hope that
about
they win
going?
This game and then we'll go to Nashville.
What do you think of that, RC?
Like, what even made him think about going to that game? And why on the road? Listen, if you're going to go to a football game now, Nico, you go when you can sit in a suite, brother. If the person on the field doesn't have the name Ninkovich on their back, you ain't got
to
be there.
RC, we were going to experience the Bills Mafia in the parking lot and the tables and the jumping and all the fun stuff.
Go in September.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All right. So let's pick the games here. We're going to pick all the games for you. We already gave everyone here like the Bengals. Our next stop is this one. Graziano, who wins and why?
Taking Buffalo. I think they have the better team. I think they have the better quarterback. I think they believe they're the better team. And the win in Foxborough a few weeks back has been a major key for them psychologically, too.
All right, the easiest question I will ask today. Ninkovich, who wins this game?
I'm going with the Patriots. They won in Buffalo in poor weather, and they're going to win again in Buffalo in poor weather. Going with the Patriots, the running game, the mental toughness. Bill Belichick.
Surprises me.
Buffalo Bill, come on now.
Yes, the absolute easiest pick of the day was Ninkovich is going to have the Patriots. How about you, Sacho? It's a really fascinating game. Who do you like and why?
I like the Bills. I think that Josh Allen is going to have a big-time moment in this game. I think when it comes to the quarterback, if that's going to be the deciding factor, both defenses are number one and number two in the NFL. When it comes to the deciding factor, I think Josh Allen has that it factor. I think he's going to make a huge play when it matters most.
Okay, and finally, RC, fascinating game. Who you like?
Yeah. I'm going to stick with the Bills here. You think about the New England Patriots as they finish the season, a loss to Indianapolis, a loss to the Buffalo Bills. You also lose to the Miami Dolphins. They just haven't been the same team down the stretch of the season, which is unusual for them as they usually ascend in their championship years. I think Buffalo's the better team. Buffalo's the more confident team. Buffalo has the better player in Josh Allen, and they eventually get the win because of those reasons.
It is worth pointing out, and we had the statistic for you earlier, Josh Allen has not played well in cold weather games in the NFL. He has thrown, and when the weather is below freezing, so below 32 degrees, he has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns, and his QBR is the second lowest of anyone in the last 15 years, ahead of only Tim Tebow. So you might think the cold weather is a huge advantage for Josh Allen. Historically, it has not been. Meanwhile, Graziano, the other big stories around the NFL are all of these coaching situations. Let's run the hurry up. What do we have?
The Houston Texans fired head coach David Culley after 1 year, which surprised some people. It was sort of a what was that guy supposed to do given the situation around that team this year. Won four games, but now there are eight head coach openings with Houston looking for the second year in a row. Jacksonville Jaguars also have a head coach opening. They talked to former Texans coach, oddly enough, Bill O'Brien, now the offensive coordinator at Alabama. One of several candidates. The Jaguars have been interviewing people for 2.5 weeks now. They have a long list. It's possible they'll be the first one to make a decision, but O'Brien certainly an intriguing candidate for them. And the New York Giants have an opening at general manager and at head coach. They have interviewed this week general manager candidates, two a day for the last couple of days, two more on the calendar today. The way the Giants want to handle this is to hire a GM and let that GM hire the coach. So look for the Giants to get a general manager in place before you even really get a sense of what their candidate list looks like in terms of head coach.
Yeah, we didn't spend a lot of time on the Texans today because it wasn't a very good football team. But what exactly was David Culley supposed to do in that situation? What an abject joke, although there's a close relationship, I'm told, between Brian Flores and some of the leadership there in Houston. So maybe that, if we can connect the dots there.
Two names to watch, Flores and also Gerard Mayo is a coaching prospect who's on New England staff right now that might have a connection there as well.
Teammate of yours,
a lot
right?
Of Patriot connection.
That's your guy.
Yes, it has worked so well in other places.
Maybe
we continue in a Big Ben the underdog. Will his sarcastic speech actually work? Can the Steelers shock the world? We will ask our former Steeler that question. Plus, will it be a Hollywood ending for Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams? Does anyone think he can carry them all the way to the Super Bowl? We're talking about that. And let's see how Graziano does with Sneaky Hembo today. I love this question. We know that the Patriots have won the most playoff games in NFL history. Which franchise has lost the most playoff games? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's the biggest playoff football weekend in NFL history, culminating with a Monday night matchup on ESPN. Who dominated? Who disappointed? And who opened eyes? We'll have all the drama and fallout on Get Up, Monday and Tuesday morning, 8 Eastern on ESPN. All right, we're looking forward to that, but I'm looking forward to this. Graziano and Hembo, we know the Patriots have won the most playoff games of any team in NFL history, but which franchise has lost the most?
It's interesting. A lot of stuff flying around the studio, as there often is, when the question's this good. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the Patriots are a candidate, right?
Yes.
They've been in the playoffs. I'm thinking about a team that's always good, but never wins, but kind of gets in or on the fringes of the playoffs. and has for decades. Mine is the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right. Oh, he's right. Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. That is correct. Minnesota. It is the Minnesota 30. Vikings. Hembo is right. No one in this room said it. I thought it was the Patriots.
I said it over here. Who was I talking to?
It is the Vikings who are correct. The Cowboys are next with 28.
I thought about the Cowboys.
The Rams, 27. They the Steelers, 26. Huh. That is incredible. Do we have the scoreboard for us? It is 3-0.
Oh, come on.
Graziano up with an early field goal on Hembo in the 2022 year. That, my man, that
right.
is an unbelievable job. You are the very best at this. Meanwhile, on we go. Let's play more or less before this wild card weekend. Hey, Ryan Clark, is Jalen Hurts going to run for more or less than 49 and a half yards against Tampa?
It's going to be less yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe that's something that they'll focus on. They'll understand the way that people want to kind of attack them on the edges and know that that's what Jalen Hurts is going to do. I think they're going to make him give the football in some of those zone read situations and also be smart about the rush lanes and the way they keep him within the pocket. I think he'll have less than 49.
Okay, and then I love this one. Ninko, your guy Tom Brady in the same game, more or less than 1.5 rushing yards.
1.5?
Yes, 1.5.
He's going for more. Look, we see Tom doing the scrambles, right? Look at him running for first downs. Get up through the first down. Let's go. Getting jacked up. Everyone's nuts right now. That's what he does. He runs for the first down. He tries to get the whole team going. He gets the defense going. He gets everybody going. Gets me going. And look at the first down. There it is. Every single time. So, yes, more than 1.5.
That is a legitimate problem.
He's
going
to lose like 6 at the end on the kneel down. So that's why you bet the under there.
Sacho, Patrick Mahomes, more or less 2.5 passing touchdowns against the Steelers.
I'm going to go less on this one, interestingly enough. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs will find different ways to win outside of Patrick Mahomes' arms. I think he'll throw 2, but I also think you'll see some defensive touchdowns. Maybe you'll see some rushing touchdowns. It's not only going to be Patrick Mahomes. The Steelers, Micah Fitzpatrick, those defenders will be game planning to try and slow him down, and I think they will.
All right, well, candidly, this is a game that basically no one is giving the Steelers any chance, and it does feel as though they kind of like that. I want you to hear from wide receiver Diontae Johnson, and here's what he had to say yesterday.
I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon, huh? Because remember all that stuff you're saying now, so.
Once we win, I love that, you know, and Big Ben was sort of joking around about it earlier this week. No one gives us a chance, obviously, because we're not good. We don't belong here. What do you think, RC? That's your squad. And Diontae Johnson just said, all of you who are not on the bandwagon, once we win, feel free to stay off. What do you think of that comment?
Listen, I love it. You know, I love the me against the world mentality. And I think that's the mentality that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had to take this season. Think about this organization as a whole, though. They're one of the most beloved organizations in football. There are stadiums that are taken over by terrible towels all around this country. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't used to the underdog story. The Pittsburgh Steelers aren't used to being the team that's not loved. And so it's exciting for them, I think, to play in this role. And also this role gives you freedom, right? This role gives you a chip on your shoulders, and that's the way that this team played down the stretch when they had to win huge games against the Baltimore Ravens, huge games against the Cleveland Browns. They found ways to do those things, and so now they're coming into this game against Kansas City saying, we've been winning games for the last month that we weren't supposed to win, and you know what happens the next week after they win those games, Greeny? We pick them to lose again. The same way, we're going to pick them to lose this week, and so they understand it's them against the world. No one expects it, but they feel that they could still do it.
I've always been fascinated by this part of it. So, Ninko, I'm going to ask you this. If you were to inject Diontae Johnson with truth serum, Ben Roethlisberger with truth serum, in their heart of hearts, in the deepest place of their soul, does he think they're going to win the game?
No.
Really?
I think that you have the confidence of, like, let's go out here, let's play hard, let's go win this game. But then you're like, well, we really shouldn't even be here. We're not that good.
Really?
We're not that good. I think that when your head coach is a great head coach, which Mike Tomlin is a great head coach, he comes in and he talks to the team. He relays a message to the team. The team then takes that message and they kind of project that in their interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee Tomlin said, listen, nobody's giving us a chance.
Right.
You know, we're going to go out here. We're going to play our best game. We're going to have fun. We're going to fly around. Nobody's going to bet on us to win this football game. And there's some guys sitting there like, yeah,
We're going to go have fun. We're going to fly around, but I don't think we're going to win. I'm telling you, it's the way, it's the nature of the game. There's Sacho, some people do that don't have it.
Do they think they're going to win? Do they think they're going to win?
Well, I disagree. I think they do think they're going to win. I think that the fact that you even got – do I think they're going to win? No. Do they think they can win? Yes. The fact that you even got there in the first place, you're sitting there saying, man, Big Ben's last run. Maybe this is my season. Maybe some magic can happen. You're sitting there saying, man, I know I'm not the same Big Ben from my most recent Super Bowl, but I have had some of those similar moments making passes that aren't supposed to be caught. And so I actually disagree with you a little bit on that, Nick. I think that players on teams think, man, crazier things have happened. No one just goes out there and says, well, they're better. We're going to lose, right? They don't do that. It's like, man, maybe we can win. And even if it is a coach who's telling me these things, you're like, man, maybe this coach is right. Big Ben has a history of playing big time games in big time moments. No one thought they would be here. Now they are. It could be a magical ending.
Yeah, I think it too. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I'm not saying that I would bet my house on them to win the game with no spread.
Somebody pick it then.
I think we are.
Put some money on it. Let's go. Let's put something on it.
We're talking like the Chiefs this year have looked like the Chiefs have looked in recent years, which they have not. And I think we are overlooking the pedigree of some of these guys on the Steelers. I think stranger things have happened. That's it. Let's put the picks up there. Let's see if anybody has the guts to do it. Graziano, who you got?
Yeah, the Chiefs. You know who they look like the Chiefs against? The Steelers 3 weeks ago when they beat them 36-10. Chiefs will win this game.
Sam Acho, who you got?
I'm going Chiefs, but not because I don't believe. I just think that they're better. Pittsburgh Steelers believe, but the Chiefs are going to win.
Ninko, well, we already got your answer. You don't even think they're going to win.
Come on.
What is the pressure here?
The pressure is on RC. Is he going to be the one who takes the Steelers?
No, I'm taking the Chiefs.
All right, it's a clean sweep again. It's not a surprise, and I think that almost everywhere that would be the expectation. I think this is going to be a much closer game than people are suggesting. Now, that's the Sunday night game. Let's get to the Monday night game. It's our game. First ever Monday night NFL playoff game. Cardinals and Rams in L.A. meeting for the third time this year. Cards won the first meeting in week 4. They had 465 yards of offense in that one. Then week 14, Matthew Stafford found Cooper Kupp 13 times in a Rams victory. So each of these teams won the road game. Stafford has his sights set on his first ever playoff win. He's 0-3 in the postseason. A loss here would match Andy Dalton for the most playoff starts without a win in the Super Bowl era, which dates back to 1966. And mine, Clark, I think this is an interesting one. As we begin this weekend, and there are 12 quarterbacks that are getting set to play, and everybody else, is there any person under more pressure to win than Matthew Stafford in the NFL playoffs?
Absolutely not. This is the game where the excuses stop, where it's the Detroit Lions excuses, where he never had anyone around him. Matthew Stafford was playing by himself. He's an elite level talent. And if he ever gets in a place where the conditions are optimal, that he would be one of the greatest of all time. Well, this is it. This is time for Matthew Stafford to rewrite his entire career, rewrite his entire history, change the perception of who he's been as a player for over a decade. He has the team around him. He has the head coach. And he was brought here to win a Super Bowl and nothing else. That is the reason that he is the Los Angeles Ram. Sean McVay thought that Jared Goff had gotten them to the height that he could get them, which was to the Super Bowl a few years back. He did not believe he was that same player. He did not believe he could have that same success. He did not believe he could take them past that point. But he believed in Matthew Stafford. He believes in Matthew Stafford. And so for Matthew Stafford, this is the time. It's put up or shut up. It's do or die. And if he does not win this game, we know what we will be talking about on Monday without Dan Orlovsky, because he will be sad or he will be somewhere in a straitjacket in some type of mental institution. We will be talking about Matthew Stafford has failed again. And he's never been the player people perceived him to be.
I agree with every word you said, except a reminder, the game is Monday night, so it's Tuesday that we'll be having that conversation, but everything else you said is exactly right. And that's the point. It's not good enough for Stafford to be better than Goff. Stafford's got to be good enough to take a good team to the Super Bowl. So let's pick it. Let's get into it, because this is a fascinating game. Ninko, who wins this game and why? Take a moment. Who wins it and why?
I'm taking the Rams, and it's because they built this roster to win this year. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about next year. They bring in the quarterback Stafford that they want. They go trade for OBJ. They go get Von Miller. They have all the key pieces that you could possibly think of that a team would need. The receiving core, the defense,
They have it. So with that, I think they're going to have to get have a deep playoff run, and they're going to have to win a Super Bowl, honestly. Matt Stafford's going to have to win a Super Bowl
right.
for this team to be satisfied. They brought him there to win a Super
that's
Bowl,
right.
not to get there.
That's the pressure that RC is talking about, and sometimes that helps, and sometimes that works in the opposite direction. Ryan, you're next on our screen. Who wins and why?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Los Angeles Rams. I think that the Arizona Cardinals haven't made the adjustments they've needed to make throughout this season. I know we haven't seen Matthew Stafford do it, but we also haven't seen Kyler Murray. We also haven't seen Cliff Kingsbury. And I think the defensive stars for the Los Angeles Rams have been showing up. And if you want to talk about an offensive player I think you can depend on, it's going to be Cooper Kupp. He's made play after play after play this season, one of the best wide receivers in the game. And I believe that the stars of the Arizona Cardinals won't show up the same way that the Los Angeles Rams will.
Sacha, who wins and why?
I'm going Rams as well. I believe that the last time RC and I were on, we were talking about the Cardinals and their struggles. We were talking about the Cardinals, though, and their struggles and how, man, you might not win another game. You might not make the playoffs. They were in the playoffs, but they lost four out of their last five. And so for me,
yeah.
I think that the Cardinals, though they have talented players, there are still some holes schematically on that defense that I think that the Rams will be able to expose. And so I don't really believe overly in either team right now at this moment, but I picked the Rams over the Cardinals. I think they'll be able to expose some deficiencies on that defense.
All right, and so I am taking Arizona in this game, and I'm doing it for two reasons. One, we've had too many clean sweeps this morning, and I just can't live with that anymore. And the second is I started thinking to myself, who's the one player who I think can win this game all by himself on the field? As great as Cooper Kupp is, and as great as Aaron Donald, I guess maybe Aaron Donald would fall in that category, but I think Kyler Murray is another one of those guys. And I have been a Kyler Murray believer. I know they haven't been the same team the second half of the season, but this is a team that for the first 10 weeks or so looked like the best in the entire NFL. The whole world has given up on them, so I'm not going to. I've got Arizona to win on Monday night. Meanwhile, our January sports calendar rolls on Sunday with an international flair. We got the Spanish Super Cup final and the start of the Australian Open. Next week, we'll have the first ever Monday night wildcard playoff game, just talking about it, Cards and Rams, and then we'll have UFC 270 on Saturday. A little bit of everything this month on ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. Coming up, our crew with their Super Bowl picks. You're not going to believe which Super Bowl quarterback is missing from all of the predictions. You'll find out which one it is next.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Lift every voice and sing.
Dr. Martin Luther King stood for so much. He stood for resilience, he stood for perseverance, he stood for pride, he stood for justice. And making a difference for the whole entire world, changing the dynamic of how this world is operated. So much love for him and everything that he's done to impact my nation.
We continue on Get Up with 6 highly anticipated playoff matchups this weekend. The most ever and the most anticipated of them all might be Niners-Cowboys. Sunday will mark the 8th playoff matchup between these storied franchises, but the first since the 94 season. Dallas sitting as a 3-point favorite on Sunday, according to Caesars. Our football power index, our analytics, likes the Cowboys a little better than that, giving them a 64% chance to win it. So that's the only game we have not picked today. Maybe we have saved the best for last. Let's find out. Let's put the picks up there and see who we like to win this game and why. Where shall we begin? We'll start with Graziano. Who you got and why?
I'm taking the Cowboys, and part of it is because I feel like the narrative has gone too hard the other way, right? The 49ers are a bad matchup, et cetera, et cetera. I do think the 49ers have a real weakness in their secondary, and that Dak Prescott will be able to attack it and take advantage.
So he likes Dallas. Ninko, how about you?
I'm going with the 49ers, and just that 127 yards a game rushing, that's impressive. Their ability to run the football in this game, I think, is going to be the biggest key. So I'm going with the 49ers. I think they're able to overcome some issues that they had early in the season. And Jimmy G, nobody's talking about Jimmy G. He's been pretty good.
He was certainly good last week when they needed him to be desperately and get into the playoffs. Sam Acho, who do you like in this game and why?
I'm going 49ers as well. To piggyback off of what Ninko just said, Jimmy G was good when it mattered the most. At the very end of the game, to go and seal a win and find your way into the playoffs, he got it done. He's been the question mark. You've got that answer now, supposedly. So I think that San Francisco will win this game.
Wow. All right, RC, how about you, Dallas or San Francisco?
I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. When I hear people like Sacho pick the 49ers and say things like supposed answer and say things like he thinks, that lets me know that he doesn't even believe that either. He doesn't believe in Jimmy G. Jimmy G will throw the football to some of the Dallas Cowboys, and what we've seen is that they catch him, they turn turnovers into points, and then offensively, I agree with Dan Graziano that they'll find ways to exploit the San Francisco 49ers outside, but only if Kellen Moore still stays consistent with the run, which I believe he understands the Dallas Cowboys winning this game because they understand how important it is for them to do so.
All right, and that is the first split that we had, by the way. We picked all six games up here today, and that is the first one that we split. Our consensus picks, the Bengals, the Bills, the Bucks, the Chiefs, and the Rams. And that sets up this. Caesars has Green Bay listed as the favorite to win it all. Of course, the Packers not playing this weekend, and neither is Tennessee. Our analytics, our football power index, has the Packers with the highest percent chance to win the Super Bowl at 20%. So it is very varied out there. So before we begin, let's go all the way to the end. What is the Super Bowl prediction? You can go make that pick in Vegas right now if you want to. So who do we like when it's all said and done? Which are the two teams that will be playing in the Super Bowl in Los Angeles? Graziano.
Preseason, I was Packers-Bills. Packers are the one seed in the NFC. The Bills are playing well going in. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with Packers-Bills, my preseason pick for the Super Bowl matchup.
Interesting. The Bills are a team people seem to have forgotten about a lot. Mm-hmm. Ever since that one night, I think, against New England, the world kind of saw that crazy game.
Right.
And since then, they haven't really been much in the conversation. So sticking with the preseason pick. Ninko, how about you? Who have you got to play in the Super Bowl?
I like the Packers and the Titans. And really, Mike Vrabel has done a terrific job with the Titans. You think about Derrick Henry coming back to this team. If Derrick Henry can run the football and they can be physical like they had early in the season, look, they'll be the hardest team to beat in the AFC, and I think that they will get to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so there's two Packer picks right off the bat, as I noticed. Sam Acho, what would you say is the likeliest Super Bowl matchup?
I'm going to give you a third Packer pick. I'm going to agree with Ninko. Packers, Titans as well. The Packers are getting healthy at the right time. Not only are they the number one seed, but all the guys are coming back. Bakhtiari's back. Merciless is back. On the back end, Jair Alexander is coming back. So many guys are back on that side. Then for the Titans, we had counted them out when Derrick Henry got injured. We had counted them out. We didn't know what Deontay Foreman was going to do. We didn't know if Adrian Peterson was going to be the answer or not. Then all of a sudden, they got the number one seed, and they're trending in the right direction. I think Derrick Henry comes back in a couple weeks. I think the Titans get to the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's two Packers Titans picks. RC, how about you?
I don't know.
You gotta make a pick.
You gotta make a pick.
Well,
if I had to make a pick, I would go Packers and Chiefs. I think those are the two teams whose quarterbacks I believe in the most. Obviously, Tom Brady is also in that conversation. But the Packers have been the best team in football the entire year. If you take away the first game against the Saints, this team has only really lost two games with Aaron Rodgers playing full games of football. And also on the other side, the Kansas City Chiefs are a team for 7 weeks had the best defense in football, and they still have Patrick Mahomes, they still have Andy Reid, they still have those weapons. And so if I had to just make a pick, I ain't putting no money on it, it would be the Packers versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
And it's interesting because you just said Tom Brady's in the conversation for best quarterback, but he's not in this conversation. Yeah. Ninko, everybody left out your guy Tom Brady.
They won last year. They'll have a nice deep run, but I think that Green Bay right now,
they have the edge. They have the edge in Lambeau. It's going to be cold. Tampa to go up there. I think that'll be the championship game.
Will someone send a little snapshot of that right there?
I think
yes. Everybody on that show this morning said your team's not going to the Super Bowl.
Maybe, and he'll love it because he'll eat it up and say, yeah, Robbo, thanks for betting against me.
Robbo? Is that what he calls him?
Robbo.
Fair enough. Robbo, Ninko, either way. By the way, we got a great night of basketball coming your way tonight. I'll be here for Countdown with the crew. And then we got the 7:30 Eastern. How about these games? We got Golden State, Chicago, which are two of the best teams in the NBA and have been from the very beginning. And then our nightcap, the two hottest teams in the sport, Luka and the Mavericks taking on Ja Morant and the Red Hot Grizzlies, two superstar young players. It's going to be a great night of basketball. And we'll start it for you with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, first take coming up top of the hour here. Who has more at stake in the postseason, Dak or Stafford? Plus, is Carson Wentz taking too much criticism for the end of his season? First take, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, tomorrow afternoon we have a good ACC men's basketball matchup for you on ABC and the ESPN app. We got Paolo Banchero and number eight Duke hosting NC State at Cameron Indoor. The Blue Devils have won three of the last four in this matchup. We hope you will enjoy. In the meantime, it is a Friday staple here on Get Up. We give you the Monday headlines. What will we be saying, Rob Ninkovich, on Monday?
Oh, get to the edge of your seat here. Rob Ninkovich, Buffalo Bill does it again. The Patriots go up to Buffalo and they win. In this frigidly cold temperature game, I think the Patriots get it done.
When again, the Patriots win would be an upset. Ninko picking them is most certainly not.
Yeah.
Graziano, what do you think?
If they lose, who's he going to pick next week? Dak dominant in win over 49ers. I think Dak Prescott has a big game throwing the ball against San Francisco. They can keep the rush off of him. Tyron Smith back and playing in this game. I think next week we're talking about how great Dak was and can they win it all.
Okay, I like it. RC, how about you? What's your headline?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl defense returns and they dominate the Philadelphia Eagles. Last year, I think people forget that it was this defense that propelled this team to the Super Bowl. I think they remember that. I think they get healthy in some places and they show us why they were Super Bowl caliber last year and why many of us picked them at the beginning of the year.
I like that. Bye, Eagles, bye. And then mine is going to be Smoking Joe. That's a man who knows his way around a cigar, and I think that he is going to have a huge postseason debut. I think he throws for 400 yards in tomorrow's game against the Raiders, the game that Dan Graziano will be covering. Enjoy all the football, everybody. We will see you Monday. First Take starts now.